Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Oh, it is a Victory Monday, baby, and a Victory Motown Monday in the nation's capital. The rain can't bother anybody at all, right? If you are of a certain persuasion, i.e. a Washington NFL fan by any name, the boys are back from the desert and are 3-1. Woo! Wow. How about them freaking apples? Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you aboard. Week 4 almost at its conclusion already. That's essentially the quarter pole of the season. And so far through 4 games, roughly a quarter of the season, obviously. It's not exact anymore because of the 17-game stupid thing. The Commanders are not only in first place by themselves, as they were last week, or going in, but, for the first time in a long time, I'll say since 2016, they have a real modern-day offense.
Very good.
It is very good, Coach. Much better than what you could put together. Because you were too busy.
11. Not very good.
Yes. You were too busy on the golf course. Somebody told me a story one time about Steve Spurrier that maybe it was John Keim. I can't remember. It's like 1:30, 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon during the middle of the season. Spurrier was supposed to be in his office. And I think it was John, but maybe it was somebody else. I can't remember. I probably shouldn't say.
I don't know yet.
Sorry, Jade. But like that Spurrier would just like gone golfing. I mean, where's Spurrier? He's out golfing on a Friday afternoon at like 1:30 in the afternoon. I bet you Jaden Daniels, I bet you Dan Quinn, I bet you Cliff Kingsbury ain't golfing today, tomorrow, sure, the next day, the day after that, Friday, Saturday, any day. I bet you they're just worried about football. I bet you. If I had to guess.
Sure.
I know, Jaden. I know you're feeling your oats. You're yelling at people. Yelling at people might be a little bit strong, but you're talking a little smack.
You know, you are old.
You probably deserve to talk about whatever you want to talk about. 42-14, the final score, as everybody probably knows by now, 3-1. And again, at the quarter pole of the season, in first place in the NFC East, as they were again after last Monday night. That hasn't changed. It just became a little bit more realistic and a little bit more solidified. Obviously, still a long, long, long way to go. 13 games is not a whole season, of course, but a lot can happen in 13 games. Success in this league is very, very, very short-lived and fleeting unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs, who just continue to pull rabbits out of their hat and win games by the thinnest of margins, and now we'll see again after another crushing injury. But that's, you know, for them to talk about on Kansas City Sports Talk Radio. For us here in Washington, it's 3-1. It's a juggernaut offense. It's a much better than people would believe defense. It's a special teams unit that has made some plays over the last couple of weeks. It's a team that just rolled up 42 on a short week on the West Coast, despite the NFL doing their very best to screw them. They just rolled up more points than they did just 5.5 days before. Back-to-back road games at Cincinnati, at Arizona. Not even reverse, so you could say, okay, they got the hard part of the trip out of the way. No. They had to go out to Arizona. They had to ship everything out there, however that gets done. A lot of money involved, a lot of resources involved. Nobody that I heard bitched and moaned about it. They just dealt with it. They let it rock and roll. They were cool as a cucumber. And, of course, it helps when your quarterback is who he is. And also, let's not lose sight of this. Man, you know, I'm not a give credit to or blame the coaches primarily type of guy. That's not me. Never has been, never will be. But Dan Quinn and Adam Peters set the tempo for how everybody seems to operate on that team. And what I mean by that is we talk about Jaden Daniels being cool as a cucumber. They're all cool as a cucumber. They're all just like this, you know, yeah, man, we got this. We're poised. We're in control. Nothing bothers us. All right. We got a punt. All right. We got an interception. We'll go out and get them. Next series, no problem. We're not going to let it kick us in the nuts and go home crying to mama with our tail between our legs. Uh-uh. All right. We get shredded again on the opening drive. Give up a fourth and goal. Okay. Fine. Kyler Murray's going to make a play every now and then to Marvin Harrison Jr. And, you know, we'd like it back, but we don't need it. We're just going to run down your throat and score on a 70-play drive. Like, everyone on this team seems to have this just... I don't do the looks on the sideline, crossed-arm stuff that you guys do, but everyone on this team operates as if not nothing bothers them. There is an urgency to win. There is a go-get-em type attitude. I don't want to confuse this, but it doesn't seem like any moment is too big for them. It doesn't seem like any situation is impossible to overcome. Let me give you a perfect example. Yesterday, and I made this point on Twitter, and nobody cared. You all care about my stupid comment on one dumb Shador Sanders pass. But I made this comment on Twitter that for the second game in a row, the Commanders did their damnedest to penalize themselves from scoring a touchdown. Two penalties on Terry McLaurin's game-icing drive last week, Monday night, and three penalties on Jeremy McNichols' game-icing touchdown drive yesterday. Three, including a personal foul. And yet the Commanders scored both times, not field goals, touchdowns. When was the last time that happened? When was the last time this offense, this team, was able to just sit back, snap their finger, overcome mistake after mistake, and yesterday mistake after mistake after mistake, and just be like, all right, that's cool. We'll get them. And they did. Right? I mean, again, it wasn't perfect. Would you like to see it? Of course not. But they had on one drive yesterday. Actually, I'm sorry. It was the Terry touchdown yesterday as well. My bad. They had a holding call on Cosme. They had the Olamide Zaccheaus ball flip that everybody had an issue with. I didn't. I thought it was a good call. And they had a third penalty, too many men in the huddle. They overcame all of that and scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion and a 12-play, 70-yard drive in the fourth quarter with the game somewhat still in balance. It was only 27-14 when that drive started. It became 35-14. And how about this? When most coaches would say, you know what? We're up 33-14. That should be good enough, right? Say it with me, boys and girls. That's a 19-point lead. Sure, three scores would beat us. But, I mean, it's midway through the fourth quarter, 8.5 minutes left, and Dan Quinn's like, screw this. I'm going for two. And then they dial up Zach Ertz out of a 13 triple tight end formation, and Jaden throws an absolute dart, and he could have hit him earlier. And he throws with anticipation, and he throws before Zach Ertz is even uncovered. And he throws an absolute seed. Again, the Commanders, after the touchdown by Terry McLaurin, which they did their damnedest to not score, but they were so good that they couldn't help themselves from scoring and overcoming three penalties on the drive, the Commanders were up by 19, 33-14. Is that right? Am I doing the math on that right? I believe it is. Yes. Yes. They're up by 19. With 8.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, it would have taken, again, three touchdowns in 8.5 minutes to overcome them. And Dan Quinn was like, you know what? Let's do what we can. And if we fail, we fail. We're still up 19. That's not being taken away from us. Let's do what we can instead of making it just 20 with an extra point, which is not a guarantee. Which, again, three touchdowns would still beat you. Let's try and make it 21. And that's what they did. And that's, once again, what they did. And once again, the Commanders, in a fourth down spot earlier in the game, just did what they had to do. Did what they had to do. Now, it wasn't last Monday where they were 3 of 3. They were 1 of 1 on fourth down. And we'll get to the defensive side in just a sec. But they were 9 of 12 on third down. So they didn't need to be as good. They didn't have to go for it as many times on fourth down as they did on Monday night, because they were so good on third down. And why were they so good on third down? Because they were so good on first and second down. So these are the big picture takeaways that I think any reasonable person should have on a Victory Monday. I want to get out to your calls right away. We're not going to do an hour of analysis or anything like that. We're not going to do that. I want to get you guys aboard, as many of you as we can. We have Jay Gruden tentatively scheduled for 3 o'clock. We have a lot to cover. The Commanders are 3-1. The Commanders are a dominant offense, and they are an improving defense. And before you go, wait, what is he talking about? I mean, if you can't tell that, man, that's on you. I mean, if you can't tell that they were pretty good yesterday, not great, not perfect, not awesome, pretty good yesterday, and they were good in a couple of key spots on Monday night, as we said over and over and over and over and over again. Nobody cared. Nobody listened. Nobody paid attention. All everybody kept shoving down your throat was stupid DVOA, which nobody even knows the formula for. They just trust it as some end-all, be-all metric. No analysis, no nothing. They just kept saying, oh, Jonathan Allen sucks, Daron Payne sucks, and DVOA sucks. Well, and we just were busy here telling you the truth. Yes, the defense sucked for the most part. In games 1 and 3 was a little wobbly, maybe more than a little wobbly in week 2, but they got off the field in big time spots in the first half Monday night, which helped preserve that win, or at least gave them a chance. And then yesterday, they gave up 14 points, including on the first drive, a fourth and goal conversion on a great catch by Marvin Harrison Jr. So they almost got off the field there. They almost got off the field on a fourth and goal by inches Monday night in the late third quarter. They gave up one other touchdown drive midway late in the third where they did look gassed. And they did look like, man, we played 2 games in 5.5 days. And guess what, guys? They had. Guess what? They had played 2 games in 5.5 days. You know why? Because the NFL was busy putting a cattle prod up their ass. That's why. So they were exhausted. They were worn out. And it showed. Because James Conner ran right through them. And guys were not playing hard. And guys were not filling gaps. And guys were not being competitive on several plays on that second touchdown drive. Outside of that, everything else was great. They went 6 series in a row without allowing a point. Now, again, don't make any mistake. We all know Kyler Murray, and even with Marvin Harrison Jr. and James Conner and Paris Johnson at left tackle, and Dortch had a couple of big catches. We all know that the Cardinals are not a juggernaut offense. Got it. Understood. How many times did Kyler Murray did what he's made a living out of in the NFL, which is feel heat, feel pressure, spin out of it, run like the wind, run all around the field, reset his feet, and launch a strike to somebody as coverage breaks down? How many times did we see that yesterday? How many times? So they kept him in the pocket. They sacked him 5 times? Was it 5? I think it was 5. They got a turnover late. They got a fourth down stop on a sack. I mean, the defense, I don't care what anybody wants to say. You could DVOA me to the freaking moon. It means nothing. Nothing. All you people that live and run around by all these analytics and statistics and because you can't figure out anything else, watch the damn game. Did you not see the defense get off the field against Joe Burrow and the Bengals 3 times in the first half last week? Watch the damn game. Did you not see the defense kicking ass yesterday? Watch the game. Stop living in mommy's basement. Watch the game. Please, I'm begging you, watch the game. This was the only radio show. The only show. On both of our stations and all the Twitteraholics that had the mere audacity to say, hey, you know what? Washington's defense not good, but they got off the field in some big spots Monday night. That's going to translate pretty well, we think, we hope, to Sunday. They're getting better. They were more physical. They tackled better. Jeremy Chinn, Frankie Louvu. All right, we still need Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler. All right, we still need more out of Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Bobby Wagner. Still need more out of Emmanuel Forbes, Ben St. Juste, Mikey Sandra still. And yet, they got contributions from all of those guys. All right, that's just the opening thoughts. We'll get out to you on the phones right away. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on a Victory Monday. Is this technically Motown? Yeah, all right.
Diana Ross and Lionel Richie? Come on, man.
I mean, I heard Lionel Richie. I didn't remember that he did a duet with Diana Ross. Okay. I love Diana Ross. I love Lionel Richie, too. All right. We welcome you back on a Motown Victory Monday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The Commanders in the win column at 3-1. Again, retained sole possession of first place. The 4th-and-1, by the way. The 4th-and-1. Here was another example of Dan Quinn being, you know, either A, he knows that he just needs the points because the defense is spotty, but I think it's also a mindset. And I also think he's understood the league better than most. They were 4th-and-1 at the 40. They were up 24-7. Think about this. And they ran Jeremy McNichols, and he got 15 because the line caved to the right and just a power formation, and they ripped off 15. Think about that. 4th-and-1 at the 40 of Arizona. You could have easily punted. You could have easily done whatever you wanted to do. I mean, you want to kick a 57-yard field? All right, maybe not. That's a little bit long, even in today's NFL. But think about that. Again, and I highlighted this before the game. I did a breakdown. Dan Quinn's 3 fourth-down attempts on Monday night, you know, at least 2 of them, if not all 3, you could make a very, very different argument, especially if they didn't make it and weren't successful, that he took an unnecessary gamble. He could have lined up for a 49-yard field goal, and I think it was a 50-yard field goal on Monday night in Cincinnati. And both were 4th and, like, multiple yardage, multiple yards. Only one was like a 4th-and-1, and that was the Jaden run. But yesterday, again, just kind of like what we were talking about with the 2-point conversion on Terry's touchdown. Yesterday, 4th-and-1 from the Arizona 40, up 24-7, it would have been so easy to be conservative. So easy to be conservative. And yet, he wasn't. Yet he wasn't. And ultimately, much like Monday night, after one of the 4th-down conversions, they kicked a field goal. They did it again here because they once again, on the next series after getting the 1st down, couldn't get another 1st down. Again, much like what happened on Monday night. And then they asked Seibert to kick a 38-yard field goal, and he does, to make it 27-7. But again, it's the decisions that you make in real time. 4th-and-1 from the Arizona 30, up 24-7. Now, you say from the Arizona 40 again. Well, what else is he supposed to do besides go for it again? How many coaches just here would have taken a 5-yard delay of game, back Tress way up a little bit, given them a little more room, and punted? And instead, Dan Quinn has now gone for it 4 times on 4th down in the last 6 days, 2 road wins, A, because he probably knows his team needs as much cushion as they can, but he also knows, and this is where I think he's really smart, and nobody's going to give him credit. He also knows if he goes for a long field goal in these spots and they don't make it, what happens? The team doesn't get the ball. The opposition doesn't just get the ball at the line of scrimmage where you had it on 4th down. They get the ball plus 7 yards. Meaning, if you're at the 40 like they were yesterday and you try a 57-yard field goal and you don't make it, where do the Cardinals get the ball? The Cardinals get the ball at the 47, not the 40. Now, you say, well, no big deal. 7 yards. Not that big of a deal. How many times is 7 yards the difference between a touchdown and a field goal? Right? How many times? So, kudos to Dan Quinn. I don't know who's in his ear. I don't know if it's this guy they hired from the NFL league office, Dave Gardy. I have no idea. But between their prowess on third down, these calculated, smart, I think, decisions, and of course it's easier to call it a smart decision when it works, and it has worked. But I didn't think they were bad decisions. I was a little bit surprised, but I didn't think they were bad decisions in the moment. You know, like there's something to be said for, hey guys, we're going for it on 4th and 1 from the 40, up 24-7. You know why? Because we believe in you. Because we have a dude at quarterback. All right. That's just some of my opening thoughts. Obviously, I'll sprinkle in more of my thoughts as we go along. Just a couple of things that jump out. I don't want to take too much time. I want to get out to you guys because we have eight phone lines full, so we want to get you aboard at 301-230-0980. Let's squeeze in. Let's go to Pete, Wilmington, North Carolina, in the leadoff spot, and then we'll do the trending alert, and then we'll come on back for more phone calls. What up, Pete? How are you?
I'm doing great. Great show. You know, there's so much to talk about this team. It's like impossible. It's so good. And, you know, the point I want to make about the fourth down thing, that sets up for confidence. That sets up when maybe things aren't going so good, but you got the confidence to get a 4th and 1, and you practice it, and they preach it, and they do it. It's incredible. And the defense, they've been fantastic stopping in the last 3 games the 2-point conversion. They really have. I mean, they basically shut that down. And in the red zone itself, the defense has been pretty good, and you're they're improving. Right. I think this is a unit that's going to end up being really good in the next 4 or 5 weeks. Now, we got some tough games. I don't know what's going to happen, but right now it's fun. I love it, and you're totally right about Dan Quinn's aggressiveness on fourth down and that. I just love it. Just keep pounding them away.
Great Fantastic. Call, Pete. Thank you, as always. Good to hear Thank from you. You. And hope everybody is safe down there, or as safe as possibly can be.
It's a mess.
Yeah,
a mess
I know. I've seen a lot of the video. And, we're thinking about everybody. Yeah. And if you can help out, you know, obviously donate to the American Red Cross, because a lot of people need help as well. Thank you, Pete. I hope everything is safe. Glad to hear from you. Appreciate you. All right, let's do a quick trending alert, and then we'll get right back to your calls here at 301-230-0980, but we start with some sad news. Pro Basketball Hall of Famer and Georgetown alum Dikembe Mutombo has lost his battle with brain cancer, passing away at the age of 58, according to the NBA. He revealed 2 years ago that he was undergoing treatment for the brain tumor. The NBA said in a statement that he died surrounded by his family. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver saying Dikembe Mutombo was simply larger than life. All the great stuff on the court over 18 seasons in the NBA. Of course, what he did at Georgetown, winning Big East Defensive Player of the Year 4 times, 3 All-NBA selections, 8 All-Star games. Dikembe Mutombo dead at the age of 58. Meanwhile, the games continue and go on. 2 more Monday night games tonight in the NFL to wrap up Week 4. It's 0-3 Tennessee at Tyler Snoop Huntley and the Miami Dolphins at 1-2. Raheem Mostert still doubtful for tonight's game. That game at 7:30, 8:15. It is undefeated Seattle at 3-0 against 2-1 Detroit for the main Monday nighter. And in baseball, already underway, the Mets and the Atlanta Braves, 0-0 down at Truist Park in Atlanta. This is the first game of a doubleheader. And here's the deal. If each team wins a game in the doubleheader, meaning they split, they're both in the playoffs. If it's a sweep, obviously the sweeping team gets in, but the team that gets swept is out and the Arizona Diamondbacks are in. And that's what's trending.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, 136, Team 980, and the Odyssey app. Good to have you with us on this Victory Motown Monday, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So, listen, there were a couple of little bad things, right? I think we all know Jaden threw his first interception. He had almost thrown an interception against the Giants, got very lucky on a cross-field pass that Zach Ertz wrestled away, that Dable wanted to challenge. It was basically a 50-50 toss-up, and they actually wound up awarding it to Zach Ertz, which was probably the right move. Tie goes to the catcher, I guess. But he had almost had an interception. He had fumbled a couple of times. Kept talking about that last week. Like, at some point, the not turnover party was going to happen. And sure, as you know what, it happened after the first two Washington touchdown drives, one ending in a Brian Robinson run, one ending in a long Jeremy McNichols run, or longish run by Jeremy McNichols. And on the third series, just like I think it had been 16 consecutive series, excluding kneel downs, at this point, Jaden throws an interception. Now, everything that I know, and Schlereth said it on the broadcast, everything I know, it was the right read. It was the right look. They dialed up Terry. They had it. Cover two. Shot. All of that stuff. Jaden sailed it. Going to happen. It's going to happen. If we want Jaden to be aggressive, if we want Jaden to rip it, if we want Jaden to go down the field and make this offense truly explosive, dynamic, and multidimensional, you're going to have to live with some of that. No problem with it. I mean, was it fun while it lasted? Sure. And then the next series, they come out. They get nothing on first down. They try like a little weird windmill pump handoff. That gets stuffed. And then on third and 10, they overthrow a pass on a deep over route on third and 10, right? Because they haven't been in many third and 10s. And then they punt at 3:18 of the second quarter. First time Tressway had punted since 11:50 of the fourth quarter in week one in Tampa. Think about that, right? 157 minutes and 57 seconds of game time without a punt. Basically, 2 3/4 games. But then they finally punt. And you're thinking, oh, well, the offense is kind of starting to come back down to earth. Little reality check, right? And listen, before the half, I think they only had the one other possession, which turns out to be a field goal. But then they get the ball at the start of the third quarter, and they come right out and attack, 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 attack. Bates gets a 9-yard pass. Robinson, a 5-yard run. Then the 47-yard defensive pass interference penalty that Noah Brown draws on Sean Murphy Bunting. Now, could have been a better throw. Maybe they could have picked up the flag. They didn't. I thought it was fair. Again, you pick up that kind of yardage on a defensive pass interference, To me, that's as good as a 47-yard bomb in play. I mean, I don't care as much about statistics as you do. I care about yardage. I care about production. The thought was there. The idea was there. The effort was there. So I guess what I'm trying to say is they come back with the field goal after the interception and the punt. They come back with the field goal at the end of the first half after the 4th-and-1 stop with the sack by Dorrance Armstrong. They get the field goal. Then they come out of the chute in the third quarter, and they go right at it. Boom! Slam on the gas. And then they never let up. They never let up until the very end. 301-230-0980. Let's get back out to you on the phones. Let's go to Chuck in South Carolina on the Odyssey app. Chuck, how are you? How you doing, bud?
Chris.
Hey, Chuck.
Chris, what's going on?
What's shaking?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You guys doing all right down there?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. Okay. I just want to say I spoke to you Friday.
Yep.
And I was one of the few callers. I predicted the win. Matter of fact, I predicted we was going to spank their ass. I predicted that we was going to beat them real good.
I remember. Good call.
Yeah.
I mean, just in full disclosure, I did not. I thought they would lose a close game.
Yeah. I mean, Jaden's just a different type of quarterback, man. He's in the same system that he was in college, so he's already comfortable. And listen, he didn't make many turnovers in college. He's like a veteran already. He's like an extended version of whatever. He's got a lot of reps between college and right now. So he's like a seasoned veteran to me. And if you look at him, nothing rattles him. If you look at it after he threw that interception, you can't even tell he had a turnover. I mean, and everybody's playing for him. The dude is incredible. He's turned our whole franchise around. Everybody, he got the whole city, the franchise, he got a whole history on his shoulder. And that's crazy, man. I mean, it don't make no sense how everybody is riding this wave with JD5, man. And I'm just here for the ride, man, because I was here in 91. I know the feeling, and it's incredible.
Well, you should enjoy it as long as you can because, as I said this morning, you know, think about this, right? And I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, yeah. Chuck, but success is very fleeting in this league. There's very few teams that can sustain success like the Kansas City Chiefs have, like the Buffalo Bills for the most have. You know, even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the San Francisco 49ers. Not to say that it can't happen, not to say that it won't happen, but there are more teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Philadelphia Eagles, meaning, you know, teams that were at the top of the NFL heap less than a year ago and now are basically looking for and gasping for air, right? For various different reasons. I guess what I'm trying to say is, again, it is really hard to stay at the top of the mountain. It's hard to get there. It's really hard to stay at the top of the mountain. So enjoy it while you can. I don't think anybody should apologize for being elated and happy and excited and optimistic. Now, as long as the team stays grounded, right, and they don't think they've won a Super Bowl or made the playoffs just yet, I think they'll be fine.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be fine. And they have enough veteran leadership on that team. They have the right coaches in place, and they have leadership from the top all the way down. So they know.
Yep.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I got you.
We
have a franchise quarterback.
I got you.
We'll be okay.
I appreciate you, Chuck.
Yeah, we'll
stay
okay.
Safe down there, okay?
Yeah,
good to hear from you, as always, on the Odyssey app. Let's get to where are we going here? Let's go to Sage. Is that Sage?
Hey,
Sage, how are you? What's going on in Ashburn? What's shaking?
Yeah, so I just wanted to share a personal anecdote with you because I find it super interesting how, like, what my reaction to all this is.
Okay.
And so I've been a diehard Skins fan for about 40 years.
Okay.
I'm 40 years old, and I've just been so used to losing.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have a new name, new coaches, new owners, 30 new players, a new name of the stadium, and of course now a new winning record. And it's hard for me to get excited about this team because it doesn't feel like it's mine. It's like my Skins. It it happened too fast and I didn't get a chance to acclimate to it. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it just happened overnight and I'm still in this processing phase and I find this reaction. My husband's like, This is amazing. And
so
let me ask you this,
Sage. Would you have rather it taken, I don't know, 2 years to get to this point where Jaden's kicking ass and they're scoring 40 points a game? Is that what I'm picking up here?
No. Of course not. That's not what I want. I'm just saying that I am having this reaction that's very puzzling to me, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm wondering if some of your listeners can relate to this because I'm like so used to just being so down on this team that I'm like that reaction became a habit, and so this new, completely new phase is I don't even know how to explain it. But my husband, who's is like, oh my God, you have the quarterback of your future. I'm like, aren't you excited? I'm like, I don't, Saket, I'm sorry. I don't know how to feel about this. I don't. It's okay.
I mean, listen, you're not used to success. It's been 30 long years of very, very, very limited success. It's okay. It's a natural. I think more people are probably like you, but you know what I sense, and I don't know if it is for you or not. What I sense is people, because of the name controversy and the name change, can't embrace anything and can't be happy for the guys that are playing now and have lost their fandom and have been so disillusioned and so kicked to the curb and so kicked to the wherevers, you know, that they can't fully embrace it yet, or they think it's going to collapse. And I think that's probably a little bit of what you're feeling, if not a lot of what you're feeling, but maybe not necessarily from the name perspective, just from the lack of success perspective. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay.
Hopefully I'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll get there, but yeah. I think it's going to take some time,
It should. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time, man. It's been a long time since this team has been able to sustain any kind of reasonable success. I mean, we've seen it in hot flash moments, if you will, right? We've seen it a little bit, but we haven't seen it sustainably. Sage, I appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you in Ashburn. Can we get one more? Or do you want to take a time? Let's take a timeout. Come back. We'll get more on the other side. I see you all. We'll go out to you. We'll try and get to as many of you guys as we can. Just be patient. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 150 on a victory Monday in the nation's capital. The DMV is electric with Jaden Daniels, Amania. 40 points on average in the last two games. That's two road wins in the span of 5.5 days. Despite the NFL doing it, whatever they can to screw them, the Commanders looked right in the face of fear? That wouldn't be the right. Right in the face of adversity and literally kicked it in the nuts. I mean, it's all there is to it. The offense, the defense, coaching. I mean, the special teams was fine for a second week in a row. It had not been good the first 2 weeks, despite Austin Seibert and the 7 field goals against the Giants. They had made a ton of other mistakes. I think the special teams have been real good the last 2 weeks. Clearly, they haven't punted a lot, but they did punt yesterday once for the first time since fourth quarter of week one. And it was a 50-yard punt. Tressway is still pretty good. 301-230-0980. Let's go to, where are we going here? Let's say hello to Stevie Ray in Baltimore. What up, Stevie Ray?
Hello there, buddy. How are you today?
What's up, Stevie Ray?
I don't have to ask how you're doing. I know you're doing good.
It's good.
This is good. This is good stuff for you, isn't it? I mean, this kind of thing really helps you out a lot.
Oh, listen, I mean, people, you know, it's so funny because people always think we root for the team to lose. No, just I can't tell you how much easier it is to do a show where everybody is feeling relieved, happy, confident, optimistic, proud,
elated,
what have you.
Elated, happy, all the above.
Yep.
If we sat here all day, we'd come up with every adjective known to man to describe the feelings that we have right now. And the lady you had on before, I just want to say, I understand where she's coming from because I'm a little numb. I'm like, what am I watching here? Is it really as good as I'm watching it? Because it's like yesterday, we got in the fourth quarter, I started laughing at the television set because I'm like, it's a little bit crazy. We've gone from so bad to this, and I don't want to put any numbers or any adjectives on that, but it's just so good. I unfortunately have to say that I have to agree with you on something. Make me a little sick to my stomach. I'm holding back, throwing up in my mouth a little bit, but I have to agree with you on this. It's, and I'm going to go a little farther. I think that the last two games were won by the defense. And you're going to go, some people are going to go, hey, you're out of your mind. You're crazy, Steve. Look at it this way. It's just what you said. They, in the last two games, have gone out there. They've deferred the kick to the second half. So all they got to do is turn over one of those one of the other team's drives and get them off the field in the first half. And now not only do you have an extra one in the first half, but you got an extra series of downs in the second half. With this kind of offense and the way this offense is clicking, and it's as good as anybody in the league. There's no doubt about it. Our offensive line, I'll get into that in a second. But all this defense has to do is get them, you know, let them move down there. You know, if they want to kick a field goal, fine, but give it back to the offense without them scoring touchdowns. And that defense yesterday did that. I mean, they gave up a very few amount of points to a pretty good Arizona team, and they frustrated the heck out of this guy. Look at Kyler Murray on the sideline. He looked like, you know, what the heck's going on out there? I can't figure this out.
Well, that's 2 weeks in a row. You know, like the Commanders have averaged 40 points in each of the last two games, right? They've averaged 40 points. The Cardinals, think about this. They scored 10 points against the Lions, not a great defense, and 14 against the Commanders. Again, not a great defense by any stretch of the imagination in the last two home games, and obviously both losses. So, yeah, their level of frustration, no doubt about it, is high. Stevie Ray, I got to let you run because we got to get in one more here before the top of the hour, but I appreciate you. As always, let's go to Lap in D.C. What up, Lappy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster?
What's
shout
shaking,
out
Lap?
To Matty Ice.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, shout out to Matty Ice. Hey, man, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I told you, you know, giving this kid time, man. He's getting better and better. He's making improvements. He's protecting himself better. The offense, he seemed like he knows. He's getting good chemistry with Terry, so I'm excited. So let's hope we can keep it up.
There's a lot. There's no doubt. There's a lot to be excited about. Is there anything in particular that jumped out to you that you were like, "Wow"?
I just wanted everybody to see that this kid was special, man. I know you wanted Drake May, so I don't want to get on your
– Yeah, I mean, can we stop getting all over my ass for having a slight preference to Drake May? I mean, for God's sakes, I'm not a scout. I'm not a GM. I was wrong. I mean, but Drake May hadn't even played, so we don't even know how good he can be. But, I mean, all right. So yeah. I didn't – you know, I had a slight preference to somebody else. I mean, JP Finley's busting my chops the other over on 106.7 for being a Drake Matum or whatever I was. I mean, you know, like, okay, so I was slightly off.
Yeah, but I just wanted everybody to see it.
I know, Lab. You just wanted to rub it. You just wanted to rub it in my face a little bit.
I always got to mess with you. You know that.
I hear you. I appreciate you. I'm happy for you either way. Listen. Yeah. Did I have a slight preference to Drake May? Sure. Was it an overwhelming lean? Was it like I was accused over the weekend of wanting Drake May because I thought Jaden Daniels was only a running quarterback? You people are literally so clueless. Those of you that accuse me of this stuff, you don't even know. Like, if a football hit you between the eyes, you wouldn't know what it was. I mean, you wouldn't even know what a laced pigskin would be. I mean, it's just so ridiculous, some of the cockamamie theories that you guys come up with. Yeah, I had a slight lean towards Drake May. We'll see how good Drake May is. We'll see how bad Drake May is. We know through four games, Jaden Daniels is all-time historically good. That's all that matters. 301-230-0980. More of your calls, more of your reaction. Coming up, hour number two straight ahead. Don't go anywhere on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.